Gambio, hey, this is WBAI in New York City. And what you have heard is a rebroadcast of the WBAI Evening News. It was electronically reproduced. It came to you on recording. And now, you know, I heard some, this is Radio Unhittable. Good morning, Cabal. Yeah. I heard somebody say, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, and then he sort of, thought better of it, because who was it actually who said that first? Was it Robert Emmett, who was making a speech, and he was arrested and dragged off, spent 10 years in prison, and that was what he said when he came back? Because what happened to the band and the fire here at WBAI was not nearly as dire as that. But it doesn't make the victory any less glorious. The captains and the kings have departed. And before we begin with sacrifice of the humble and the contrite heart, we're going to carry on a little bit here. We have a room full of dacoits, scoundrels, dissidents, broadcasters, madmen, madwomen, all feeling like this is the first of many victories to come. There are vegetables on the console. The camera, security cameras seem to still be functioning. Maybe somebody can go out there with a can of shaving cream like I saw in Re-Fee-Fee and kind of obscure the... although I understand that someone said they're going to try to sell the thing on eBay. It's been a tremendous year here in New York City. I mean, catastrophic. But if what's happened here at WBAI in the last few weeks is a portent of anything at all, then New York City is going to be much better than it was before. We've learned a lot in this struggle, and here in this room with me are some of the people who have been the leading instructors in that. There's John McDonough over there. Pull a microphone over, John, and say hello to your...
I was but a mere follower. And I followed the leaders down at the meetings. Because in order to be a leader, you had to go to at least 6 or 7 meetings a week, of which I could not do.
And there is Eric Levine with his guitar and orchestra.
And I didn't take... I wasn't at all in the middle of it.
People are coming in the doors now. I see plumbers, electricians, sign carriers. I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves. Eric, thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But, and right next to Eric is Miguel Maldonado, who is one of the heroic... I mean, we all had to go through some stuff here, but Miguel, poor Miguel, had to go to meetings and meetings and meetings. Pull the microphone over, Miguel, and say...
It was a pleasure, really, to share all of that experience with so many people, and I know that sometimes I get confused with meetings, and at the same time that I'm going to those meetings, I was supposed to go to Chara's meetings, where Chara was really in trouble.
Oh,
and it was a big struggle at the end. Everybody knows what happened. But Chara's still around, and WBI is still around. And
what is the latest on Chara?
Well, Chara was beaten by the police, by force. Right. But Chara, as an institution, is still alive, and And they're coming back to the Lois side pretty soon. And I just want to say that that it's really a pleasure to be here, and I'm so happy that you're back, and as well as all the producers and all the Band on Fire, and the listeners are back, and I think this is the most important thing. I just want to take advantage right now to invite the people that next Tuesday, the people who got arrested in WBAI almost a year ago, we got to go to court. We don't know what's going to happen. Everything is in the air. But I just wanted to tell the people to put their thought for us and the energy that everything come out okay. And but the charges have not been dropped yet, and we don't know what's going to happen. So just the people remember, that's going to be next Tuesday at 9:30 and 100 Central Street. And we're happy to be here. That's what it counts.
That was a great evening, you know. I remember the board of directors meeting were denied access to the station. The local advisory board was trying to get in the station to have a meeting, and they were denied access. This is, this station belonged for a few brief days and hours, not to the listeners, but to some other entity.
I remember you sweating that night, real heavy. Oh. And but with, I know that night that we're going to win this fight.
That's a familiar
because
night.
When we were
trying to forget all of the things that brings to mind.
And I know that we're going to win that fight because when the police took up down to the street, I saw like 150 people outside, so there was a real surprise, and we went to jail so happy. We were smiling the whole night.
Who were the people who were arrested that night?
It was, besides me, was Vicente Panama Alba, which is also a board member, Janice K. Bryan, Ursula, Peter is the listener, who else?
Donna Gold.
Peter, who else? It was somebody else.
Monroe was not arrested that night?
No, he didn't call that night. So
he must have had a date or something.
Howell Brainstein, and I think that's it. There was two more board members, but the police refused to take them because they were disabled and they were in a wheelchair.
Ann and Frida Zen.
And Frida, right. And, you know, but they want to go with us, but the police thought that was too much for them to handle. And they left them. They tricked them. They told them to come downstairs. And they said, oh, you can voluntarily. So they refused to take them.
The jail wasn't accessible, I guess.
He was not.
And next to Miguel is David Amram. David Amram is a composer, a musician, a veteran of the Beat Generation. David Amram is one of the most inspiring characters in the entire art scene. And David, there'd be long telephone conversations where David would tell me not to lose heart, and David would plot strategy for us and take out his flutes and give us a chord or two. And David, you just came from a meeting with Amy and Bernard at Westpac, right?
Yeah. Robert Knight and Amy Goodman and Bernard. It was Westpac up in White Plains. A whole bunch of people showed up who had volunteered using the email and the internet and their own tireless efforts to help to turn the whole situation around. And I commented before I played some of the music that since I'm 71, first came on the station in 1960, the first year it was on, it had been on hundreds of times, played boat rides, concerts, everything for the station. I love it. My own children grew up listening to it. I said, you know, we used to say in the 50s that Lenny Bruce said, the only justice in the halls of justice is in the halls. And that changed, because whoever the judge or judges were, they made a right decision, and God bless them for upholding free speech, liberty, a radio station that all ages can listen to, all people can benefit from, and something that, as I was driving them Bernard and Amy, Robert Knight home. We were going down the West Side Highway. I said, boy, New York City looks beautiful again, because now we can turn on 99.5, and we never know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be interesting, and we'll know more, and our kids will know more, and our elders will know more just from listening to this fantastic station. It was a wonderful, wonderful triumph. And I think, like probably everybody else in the room and everyone in the listening audience, I kept turning in the station, turning it on every day, praying maybe someone would say, you know, we made a fantastic mistake. We're sorry. Everybody, please come back. But it didn't seem that that was going to happen. And because of this, I would think the thing to do is to move forward, to work harder, to learn from the experience that we all have to be together. We all have to work together, respect each other, to be aware of who's running the store. And I think the listeners are now more informed, more interested, more concerned. And I think that the station is going to be better because of this, and even stronger than it's ever been before. And in spite of the pain that everyone had to go through for a year, it'll turn out to be a good thing. So rather than thinking about revenge or any stuff like that, all the loyal listeners and all the people who work here can think about how to support the station, how to get out there and tell all of our friends to listen to it, to try to send in money, to send in letters, to use the magic of the World Wide Web.
We have a colossal debt that we're going to have to catch up with real quick.
So just very briefly, I'd like to say a double thank you. Which is a thank you to everybody, all the volunteers, all the staff workers, all the people who spent a year out of their lives struggling for something and seeing that justice did prevail and will prevail. And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful time in New York City. The whole city is better because of this, and it's a triumph.
It was clear. You should have seen the... I don't know whether you were at the meeting. There was a series of meetings at 305 West 44th, the Hotel Workers Union, last weekend. And the celebration and the sense of having finally... One something that was important was so, it just swept through the hall. People were just delighted with each other and with, I guess, with the future for a change. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Tony Grinovich. The last time I was here, Utrice was sitting in your chair. So come, this is November of 2000. And, I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. It's almost uncanny, but it's the struggle that took place over the past year has been an incredible one. And involved many of the listeners. The listeners became engaged en masse for the first time and really instrumental in transforming the station.
The remarkable thing is that they had the radio station. And all we had was, what we could steal, the time that we could steal on a few programs, the internet, our telephone books, our mailing lists, our friends, and we organized and we beat them. And they will stay beaten. And next to Tony is...
I'm Elizabeth. I was so happy when Bob called me today. I was so happy to know that he would be on tonight. I just love what David said when he said, let's know who's minding the store and the listeners are now more informed. Let's keep the listeners informed and let's have time. It's great that we're here together, but let's keep the listeners as part of this. And I was at, I gave a poetry reading tonight at the National Arts Club. I brought some poems with for Walt Whitman because I know that Bob loves Walt Whitman as I love Walt Whitman. I've always seen Bob as Walt Whitman, and he's our bard. He's the New York City bard. But even tonight, the BAI struggle was mentioned at the National Arts Club, and,
really?
And people are very happy, and I just want to put in a word again for the listeners. It's great to see everyone.
Carrie?
Hi. Carrie Fisher. I've listened to you ever since 1966. And when you called me and told me that You were suspended indefinitely, which means like a firing. I said, my God, there are many hearts to WBAI, but you've got to be heart number one. And I said, how can they do this? And I called people and mustered up all the psychic energy I could. And tried tapping psychic energy from other people while they were asleep. And gathered as much as I could to hope that this day would come.
Well, we should get a little retread of psychic energy because Reverend Billy is here. Reverend
Yay!
Billy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Reverend, come
on. Okay. No more shopping.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Reverend Billy, will you give us a little bit of a benediction for our future activities?
Yes, St. Robert. I'd like to send up a message to the radio gods and goddesses that are managing the waves up there above all the semiological junk, and I have above the arches and the swooshes, and far above George Bush's pet pillow, and way above distant boards that scam with Cayman Island partnerships and plan with secret memos to sell our birthright. I want to thank that thing god, that living thing radio wave god goddess thing up there that was watching over us this whole time, that it felt just so damn hopeless sometimes. It just felt so damn dark sometimes. And all we had as the 50 kilowatt station just sort of disappeared before our very eyes as program after program went down, all we had was each other calling up each other, getting on the internet, getting on the emails. All we had to remind ourselves that we had 50,000 watts in our souls was each other, and we did that. Something helped us. Something we had faith in. Something we had faith in helped us. Hallelujah. I'm just really, really grateful to be here right now. I'm going to try to remember this moment, because I know the darkness will come back in other forms, but this last year has been something to learn from for me. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank you for sharing this very special evening with us all. And this last song we're going to do has special meaning for me, although I've known the song a real long time, because when I recently rediscovered my Creator, He was there all the time, but I had sort of forgotten about Him there for a while. The experience was so powerful and so, well, I said it all, that I left the church and I thought, I'm not going to tell anybody because they're not going to believe me. I'm just going to keep it to myself. But you know, I couldn't. So that's what this song is about. It's called I Said I Wasn't Going to Tell Nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I'm
Hi, you're on the radio.
Who's that, me?
Yeah, you.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, all right. We're pretty good now.
Do I know everybody in the room?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I know everybody in the room.
I know Miguel.
Miguel. Do you know Miguel? Well, Miguel seems to have stepped out of the room.
He did?
Yeah, but here's a voice you might recognize.
Good morning.
Do I recognize this voice so late at night?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, we
Miguel
won.
Has come back.
Did we win or did
I could have been a contender. I could have gone all the way. I almost thought that Champ Utrice was going to put me away.
But no.
And Marjorie Moore with the old Sunrise 1-2 punch.
But it was like a Frank Capra movie, wasn't it?
Who could believe?
But Grandpa Al Lewis says, yeah, like more like a science fiction movie.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Do you recognize who that is?
No. I do, but it's like too close to recognize.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, give me another hint.
Say free speech.
Oh, I always say freedom of speech.
Freedom
because
of speech.
It means free speech with responsibility. You know, when you're a grown person, you try to sort of be on top of what you're saying and not just say something. Of course, sometimes you have to scream out fire if it's fire. You know, but then you shouldn't scream fire if it's not fire.
Well, should I have my beeper now? I recognize the voice.
Yeah. This sounds like Janet Coleman.
This sounds like Monroe.
Wow.
Well, you're a real hero of all of this.
Well, I think we're all heroes. I don't want, and I'm going to mention Howie's name, Howie Glatter.
Yeah,
yeah.
Him too.
And he certainly, he really moved in the morning, especially.
Was that Howie Glatter was on before?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, that was impressive. He really, you know, people must have called and, like, squeezed in little phrases and little kind of tiny moments where they were connecting with us. But it took a lot of effort to hang on that long to just get one little drop of voice in there, huh?
Right. We really went through the ringer. We sort of were glad when we got a word in, when we were able to utilize what we thought we had in this country, the United States of America, freedom of speech. But I thought Utrice might be good because she was so well liked on Talk Back. She was on 4 days a week, and she was a jolly person and intelligent, highly intelligent, and. I liked her even though I had my differences with her, and she benefited from some things I said to her, and I think I benefited from some things she said. So that's one of the reasons I'm kind of glad that we can sort of bury the hatchets and move on. But I would hope that people would
just
learn.
Remember
from
where
this.
You buried that hatchet.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you might need
ground.
It again.
I mean, well. You know. I mean, I hope we've learned. It's not easy to say humanity learns from one tragedy or another.
Oh, it's easy to say it. But
well, you're right. It's easy to say it, but...
it,
yeah.
Well...
I'm going to say it right now because who knows... we've already said something about freedom of speech, and I want to bring up the idea of report to the listener. Because I often have said recently it should be called report to and from the listener.
Right.
But, you know, it's like our culture is instant stuff. So it's easy to say report to the listener. And when it was in the folio and the station manager was putting out the statement, well, then it was only a report to the listener because the listeners would get the folio. And it was that. But when you have it on the radio and the listeners are respected as equals, you might say, because they become broadcasters. They become broadcasters when they call in. And the upshot is it used to be on, Bob, please. It used to be on not once a month, but once a week.
Could be on a rainy morning, could be on a rainy night. Dagger Lee and Billy the Lion had a great big fight. Talk about the bad man. Cruel old Stagger Lee. Stagger Lee, said Billy, man, you know I can't go with that. I done won all your money and your great big stats and hat. Talking about the bad man. Cruel old Stagger Lee. Stagger Lee, said Billy, man, don't take my life. I got two lovely children. I got a very lovely wife. Talking about the bad man. Cruel old Stagger Lee. Shot Billy, shot the boy so bad, the bullet went through Billy, broke the bartender's looking glass. Talking about the bad man, cruel old Stagger Lee. If you ever down in Louisiana, gone to the Lion Club, every foot you be stepping in, Billy the Lion blood. Talking about that bad man, bad man. Cruel old Stagger Lee. It could be on a rainy morning, it could be on a rainy night. Oh, Stagger Lee and Billy the Lion had a great big fight. Talking about that bad man. Cruel old Stagger Lee.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. from an eagle drank panther blood. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. What if my stepper's gonna stomp some rock? Got an easy tie, got a harder squeeze. Jack won't get you in at this field. Get him a hot coat, if not know. He shoots the gun in the jailhouse door.
Share with us.
Oh, Bob, it's not words of wisdom. It's just common sense. Everything that's happened down here in this station, from the time I first came to the station in 1960 at 39th Street, I've always seen one thing, the value of communication. I've always respected it, and I've always admired those who had that ability to communicate. Here, when that coup went down, it was really against all the principles of common sense. Because anything that you do that's bad is only going to bring you bad. You do good, you look good, you feel good. You feel good, you look good. What those people were doing was so treacherous. And, you know, I couldn't say it really, because Playfair Benjamin, when he gave his little dissertation on it.
That was good, wasn't it?
Not good, Bob. Uh-huh. Say like it was. It was excellent.
That was great.
I mean, he's a wordsmith.
All right, all right. So I heard somebody say the enemy of the excellent is the good.
Always. Because the excellent is the best that there's ever going to be. So I've said it from the first day it happened when I spoke to White, you know, when I said to him in front, you can't do what they did to you unless you want to become what they are. And that goes for anybody, anywhere, anytime. When you look at the world and see what people have done atrociously against each other, every time the person who's the victim take on that victimizer's attitude, it reverses itself again and again and again. And if anybody in this room here have read that book about that Mossad fellow that told on the Mossad, and he had to get out of the country. He had to get to Canada. The Making of the Mossad. Did anybody read it? It's there. It's a book. And it tells the training and the background and how they developed this attitude of going against. But they're using the same method that was used against them by the Nazis. So when they kidnapped Eichmann out of whatever he was down there, sedate him, put him on the plane, bring him back, and do the number on him, it was what had happened to them already. And any pupil that's any good is going to learn from the master, one step beyond the master. So that's what I still will say to anybody right now in this room or anywhere out there. The books I've read that says love your enemy, it's not really there to make you a wishy-washy nothing, because it's not hate that's going to make your enemy any better. King proved that. Gandhi proved that. I don't say love them. But I sure as hell don't say hate them, because I learned from all of those people, hate brings the hater, that position of evil and cruelty and viciousness. So if you can't offer them love, try to just encapsulate it in something to protect yourself and not become the victimizer. And to the world out there, I'm going to tell you, Bob, there has never been a slave master on this planet. There have been enslavers and those enslaved.
But to be a master, a person has to master themselves, and that's the only one you'll ever master. I have never seen that term meaningful. It's redundant, and it's obscene. Slave master. Who the hell's master? One creator over all life and form of energy, and that's the only master, and you can't even call that a master. So people got some weird ways of using words. You know, bisexual, trisexual, bi... These terms are just misused, Bob. And the people here... And I was in the office speaking to somebody, and I said, excuse me, sir, the proper use of English language and diction is not necessarily a mark of intelligence. It's merely an indication of training, good training. But you can train seals, dogs, and other animals. And they like, oh, well, I say there, you know, it might be a... And the other persons in the room didn't say a damn thing, because it's still the truth. I would have Brother Shine communicate with his dialectics than those with Oxford English, because one comes from the heart and the other comes from a book. Check it for yourself.
Gee, how come I have to follow that, handsome? Holy cow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I've been up here in the studio.
Patty Heffley, you may not have been up in the studio, but you were out there being one of the best listeners, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I used to come up here sometimes on off the hook, and to, of course, lab meetings and whatever else I could get my hands on. I'm really glad to... be here with all the people in this room tonight, and the real, you know, I want to really thank you, Bob, for always leaving space for the conversation. I remember one conversation we had like way, way late at night. That was like a real deep conversation about the whole situation and listener empowerment.
Outside of Theater for the New City?
No, it was on the air. It was on the air where it belonged.
One of the reasons
he... He always made that space, and that is really, really important. And I want to just say a moment, too. I want to thank openly right now Bill Weinberg and Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade, the unsung hero, too, because... He never got fired and banned, so he never got the attention that he deserved.
Well, I don't know about unsung. I understand that Moogie has written a song that will extol all of the people who did what they did, and all of the people who were listening while stuff was done. So, I mean, it'll be sung. No more unsung heroes.
Right. All right.
Hey, you and I are going to be someplace... with Miguel in the next couple of hours.
Tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow. Actually, yeah, we have listeners in Long Island, too. There are a lot of listeners out there. And tomorrow, Friday, January 18th at 8 p.m. in Amityville. It won't be the Amityville Horror, I don't think. The Peace Smith Monthly Community Forum program on Pacifica Network and WBAI Radio, struggling for the free speech ideal that the airwaves belong to the people. And this is going to be a kind of a history lesson, because we're going to have Bob and Bill Propp are going to be there, and I'm going to be speaking also, and Miguel Maldonado, our chair of our local advisory board. And I think Jim Crevo, also from Long Island Friends of WBAI. So it's January 18th at 8 p.m. in Amityville at the First United Methodist Church in Amityville on 25 Broadway, Route 10. And the phone number is 631-798-0778. That's going to be at 8 o'clock. I think they're going to have WBIX is going to air it or record it. I believe. And please come on out, everyone in Long Island.
All right.
All right.
You're going to show your movie.
Oh, yeah. Do tell. The film Do Tell, version 2.0.2, unless I can get it to be 2.03 by then. And it's the history of the listeners' movement in New York City starting in 1996. So that we'll show that. It's a half hour long. And also there's one more other event of that nature is the Intergalactic Anarchist Conference going on this weekend. And there's going to be a discussion there also about democratization of Pacifica. And that's at 8:30 p.m. And Amy Goodman speaking there tomorrow night. And that's at the Shoshama Theater on 42nd between 6...
Shoshama, I think.
Shoshama Theater.
Like what Captain Marvel used to say.
Ah.
Shazam! There would be a bolt of lightning coming down, and he would change from little twisted Billy Batson into this man of metal, or whatever they call him. Captain Marvel. You don't remember Captain Marvel?
No, I didn't read many comics.
Oh, well, you should have.
Here it is. Here's the address. The Shoshama Theater, 129 West 42nd Street, between Broadway and 6th Avenue. And they're going to have a couple. Amy Goodman is going to speak on Friday at 8:15 until 9 o'clock. And we're going to have Direct Democracy at Pacifica, a workshop by the Pacifica Listeners Action Network. And that's at 6:30 on Saturday. And there's a whole bunch of other things. There are going to be Seth Tabachman and a multimedia slideshow. And it's way, way cheaper than a movie. And even if you're too poor for that, it's even cheaper than that. And it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So anybody interested in some real, see the young people, what they're up to.
If they come to this thing in Amityville, you'll tell them all about it there, right?
I'll tell them there also. Thank you, Bob.
Hemp?
Yeah, Bob, you know, you're really famous, and this station is going to be more famous than you can imagine, because I met somebody in the Kinkabella Art Gallery today. And it's a Dr. Kelly, him and his wife were in this art gallery. And I told him about the station. And now when he goes back to Texas, he can pull it up on his internet and on the web stuff.
That's right.
And this is one way for any of us to spread the goodness of the station. Anybody we talk to from out of town, just bring them to the awareness of where they can get the station when they wherever they live. And like tomorrow, not tomorrow, Monday, when that whole Martin Luther King event's going on, tell your friends to get their tapes ready and copy it down and send it to their children that are away in school or abroad, because that program is going to be very, very intense. It'll be Dr. King from beginning, as Bernard has always done every year of his birth. And this is easy. When you take the word from the station to a person who hasn't become aware of the station, give them enough substance so that they'll want to come back to get some more. That's all it takes. And the world is waiting for what WBAI has, where brains are important. WBAI. Where brains are important. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
They named a state after him, Georgia. Well, in 1776, King George sent over governors to rule the colonists. Colonists, oh, you've been appointed to govern us? Well, we disappoint you. Disappoint you? Yes. After all, that's how Ford got in. Nixon appointed him. When the election came, the people disappointed him. That's how Carter got in. Ford's disappointment. Well, I didn't vote for Carter, but I felt that he was a good man due to the fact that he did admit publicly in a Playboy interview that he has committed adultery 45 times in his mind. I mean, every time you see Carter smiling, he's having an affair. So I say it's best to have him think in his mind rather than fucking other. So therefore, I think that the Indianapolis 500 were all innocent. Although many people object to that particular quick conclusion. Even a great President Johnson, one of the great presidents of his own time. It was he who said that democracy can only endure and develop continuity if we get together. We've got to get together. Got to get the English together with the Turks, and the Turks with the Germans with the Irish with the French with the Italian, and all get together and beat up the Polacks. There was a great man, Johnson, followed quickly by another greater man, Knixon. Didn't he say, when everybody said, "Oh, what's the matter with you?" He said, "I have phlebitis." Phlebitis, my ass, that was syphilis. I mean, you can't screw 200 million people and not get something. And that's right from the very start. And there's Reagan. He's going to die of syphilis by his own hand. So you ask me if I'm positive. I'm cocksure. And Kissinger, before his erection, before Nixon's election, said that man ain't fit to be president. And another time at the convention when he was campaigning for Rockefeller, he said Nixon is one of the opponents that is most dangerous of the lot. And Kissinger was right, because Kissinger himself was following the philosophy of the dictates of those who have accepted the responsibility to develop some plateau where their energy might be construed as somewhat dilettante, not detente. Detente and uncle did not have any relationship with the fact that the Wall of China, which was one of the great marvels of this century's past, according to the latest reports recently tabulated from the Peace Corps, which was started by Kennedy, where they would send people to...
of the days, it's the Christmas coup. The 12 days of the Christmas coup. Maestro, are you ready? Sing along. On the first day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me, you tree, sin, and I will gain tree. On the second day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me two termination letters and you trees, in and I'm a game tree. On the third day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me three change locks, two termination letters and you trees, in and I'm a game tree. Everybody! On the fourth day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me four scabs and quizzling, three change locks, two termination letters, and new trees in an ibogaine tree. On the fifth day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me five stations. And quizzling, three change locks, two termination letters, and you trees in an ibogaine. Let's hear all of you. On the sixth day of Christmas, the coosters came to me, six guards of beating, five stations gained, four scabs and quizzling, three change locks, two termination letters and new trees in an ibogaine tree. On the seventh day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me seven cameras watching, six guards of beating, five stations gang, four scabs and quizzling, three change locks, two termination letters and new trees in an ibogaine tree. On the eighth day of Christmas, the coosters gave to me eight lawyers suing, seven cameras watching, six guards of beating, five stations gang.